I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Frost. Now, have you ever dreamt of having a super foal? A horse that's bred from one of the most incredible horses on the planet. How about Nick Skelton's Big Star? Well, today we're talking about breeding with Tullis Matson, who's the owner of Stallion AI Services. From natural covering to fresh sperm, frozen sperm, it all gets very scientific. So Tullis is going to explain the procedure and how you can get your hands on a Big Star foal. This is Horse Hour. Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. We have our lovely guest, Tullis Matson, and he's the founder of Stallion AI Services. How are you today, Tullis?
I'm good, thank you, Amy. Yeah, very well.
Good. A little bit better today. Weather's not so bad, but still not great, is it? No. Now, last week when I was speaking to you, you had some pretty important telephone calls, which you cancelled for me. So I'm so grateful for that. But one of them was Nick Skelton.
Yeah, I've actually got a call on that, but I presume... we're doing a few Stallion shows at the moment with Big Star abroad. As we know, Big Star is the double gold medal winning Stallion with Nick Skelton. He won the team gold at London, and he won the individual gold in Rio, which is an amazing feat for obviously a British rider and horse, and which is great to have in this country, really, obviously. Now, we're incredibly privileged to be working with a Stallion. We sell all the semen on behalf of the owners, Gary and Beverly Witherson, and they it's great that they kept him in this country. There's a lot of people who want him abroad, and they've actually said no, we want to keep him in the UK, which is fantastic, really. So there's the start at this time of year. There's a lot of Stallion shows going on abroad, so we're doing a bit of a roadshow really with him. He's just been given the highest honor at the BWP, the Belgian Warm Blood Society. He's been given the Ambassador of the Year award, and we're going to the KWPN show, which is in Holland. That's the breed society in Holland, and he's been voted Stallion of the Year, which is one of the biggest breed societies in the world, you know. So he's going over there on the 1st, and then he is going to another Stallion show in Germany, and he's going off to Schockemolers on the 4 days later on the 4th. So he's traveling around Europe, really giving his presence. I mean, this is the number one show jumping Stallion in the world, and he's really sort of going around so people can actually see him and view him, potential of maybe using him for their mares next year.
Okay, so talk me through the using him for their mares bit, because that's not like the traditional way, is it? From what I keep hearing, it's all very scientifically done now.
Well, using the artificial insemination that we use, it does mean that instead of a stallion naturally covering a mare, we can actually collect the semen off it, freeze the semen down in straws, they're half mil straws, and then obviously we can ship, being frozen, it means that we can actually ship this semen anywhere in the world. So whereas we used to have to breed by locality, in other words, we could only breed by how close the mares were to you, and that was restricting. Now the world is our oyster. We can ship the semen all over the world. You know, like Australia, we sent a lot of semen out there, New Zealand, South Africa, America.
When you send it there... Do you have certain people that you work with? Is it the vets? Does it go to the vets? Or is there somebody like you, like Stallion AI Services, over in Australia, and then they deal with it?
That's exactly it. We have a storage centre there, and then there's an agent that goes on and goes out and actually actively sells the semen. We've exported to, I think it's about sort of 30 or 40 different countries. We did 17 different countries last year alone. So it's great. All these, we had the first semen ever shipped to Kenya from the UK.
To Kenya? At
Foles. Yeah, to Kenya. We got a lovely picture of a foal that was born out there a year or so ago. We shipped semen to Israel. Most of it's Europe, to be fair, in the UK, but it does mean we're reaching these other parts of the world as well now.
Now, you have a huge place where you are in Shropshire, don't you? I mean, you've got loads of land, you're on a farm, but it's not like you keep all these horses there. Do they, a lot of them?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's quite big. I've got 30 acres that a farm on, so it's not over big.
Bigger than our little 1 acre paddock that we get with our horses. So,
as far we go. So, no, we can take up to 37 stallions. Just invested £1.5 million in a brand new centre that we just moved in here on the 1st of April. So it's really exciting, sort of the future for Stallion AI services and the new projects that we're doing here. So we can take up to, say, 37, in some way, I think about 33. This time of year in the winter, we'll have about 41 or 15 stallions in at any one time. These can be ranging anything for freezing for domestic use, just UK, in other words, or we're freezing quite often for further afield, like America, Australia, and things like that. And we get a real diverse types of breeds in. We've frozen from 42 different breeds over the years, but we get anything from little ponies, Shetland ponies, up to Shires. So it's great. So we've, at the moment, you know, we've got quite a few warm bloods in. We've got a couple of Cleveland Bays in. We've got a couple of Arabian horses in. So we've got, it's a real mixed bag that we get in. It's not any particular type of horse that we get in. It's right across the board. And then the stallions are here for a certain period of time. We freeze the semen. And then when the owners are ready, we can ship it all over the world.
Well, I've got a target mission for you. I'd really like you to get the Budweiser Clydesdales over here, please. So if you get an opportunity to do that, because I feel like we're missing out. We need to have them lining this. I'm sick to death of the Coca-Cola truck. I don't want to see the Coca-Cola truck at Christmas anymore. I want to see the, you know, the Clydesdale horses.
Well, Martin Clunes into the Clydesdales. I would like Martin Clunes to come up here as well. It'd be great if he could come and see, because he's into his Clydesdales. We have had Clydesdales at our place as well. So, and they're on the vulnerable risk for the Rare Breed Survival Trust as well. So we also do quite a bit of work with Chester Zoo, which is quite interesting work. So we've just started doing that in the last sort of 6 to 12 months, where any animals that naturally die, they send the testicles to us, and we've developed this technique, or it has been developed a while, but we've been perfecting it over here. It's where we can extract semen from an animal that's died within 24 hours from the testicles, and try and freeze that down and try and preserve those lines in other ways. So you can imagine if an animal or even a horse breaks its leg or anything like that, and or suffers an operation, and they haven't salvaged the genetic lines, there's a last-ditch attempt we can actually do this, and it actually works very, very well. And we're trying to transfer this now onto zoo animals. So we had some capybara in the other day. We had some blue-horned antelope and so on. And a very rare animal called a onago, which is a wild ass. There's only 300 or 400 left in the whole world. Their native habitat, I think, is Afghanistan and Iraq. So you can imagine, not the best place to be. So most of them are bred in zoos. So we try and help on that side of things as well to preserve those animals. So it's fun, but it takes us away sometimes from the business side, which is good, because the business side obviously has to be sustainable for Stallion AI and the stallions coming in. But these side bits are interesting as well for us.
So how did you go from being a farmer to, you know, having this world-renowned...
There's a story.
I'm fascinated to know how you go from farming into science.
I'm afraid I am the most unacademic person. I can't even get words out. So academic. I left school when I was 16. I'm the most dyslexic person in the world. You'll never receive an email off me, very rarely. I always pick the phone up, so I don't write. And I wasn't naturally going down the route of universities or anything like that. So I did a bit of racing, left. I got a bit too heavy for that. And then came back to look after my father's stud farm. And he had an Irish draft stallion. And we used to jump him on a thoroughbred mare to get the crossbred. So you got the heavy horse and the lighter horse. And you used to get this lovely offspring, which had a bit of stamina in it and speed from the thoroughbred side, but also the strength from the Irish draft. Mm. And when it was all natural covering, and one day he was covering the mare, and unfortunately, when he was naturally covering, he ruptured the mare inside, and the mare died. And it was a horrible accident. These accidents do happen. And it must have been over 30 years ago now. God, how am I? Over 30 years ago. And I thought there must be an easy way of doing it. And for my 20th birthday present, my dad gave me a ticket to New Zealand. I went over there and learned how to do AI over there. It was just by default. I went over there to work on some farms and saw them doing this AI stuff because they had the North and South Island. So instead of shipping horses backwards and forwards, they shipped the seamen backwards and forwards. Mm. And actually thought this is quite a much better way of doing it. Now, the UK were quite a traditional, old-fashioned country and very much did like, steeped in our history, did like the natural covering side of things, like the thoroughbred world. They can only do natural covering. They're only allowed to do for racing.
Oh, really?
They're only allowed to do natural covering. So I started doing AI when I came back from there, started doing collecting off the stallion and started inseminating the mares and finding, actually, this is an easier way of doing it. If you're covering a mare for 4 mares a day with AI, you collect off the stallion once and you can split it 4 ways. So your work is halved or quartered. And it really snowballed from that one accident. I know it's very sad it happened, to really where we are today, because that gave us the option to really look into different techniques. And so we started to do more AI. And then Genus came along, who are big cattle breeders. They do all the cattle freezing. They're the largest, I think, along with Cogent, semen freezing farms for cattle. And they helped to set up really the semen freezing for horses. And then when Foot and Mouth came in, they said, right, we can't have anybody into our labs. So I thought, crikey, I'm going to have to set up a small lab here. Mm. So that's how we started doing. And then we started looking into research and development and how we can perfect the techniques to freeze more stallions. Because back then we could only freeze maybe 60% of stallions. Mm. Now it's more like 85 to 90% of stallions we can freeze.
So why can't you freeze some?
Because some just inherently the semen quality isn't good enough. You know, it may, we've got to, you can imagine if you collect off an animal, you've got the raw sample there, but by the time you freeze it and spin it down, you're going to be killing off a lot of semen anyway. So if you're starting off with a bad sample, it's only going to get a lot worse.
Yeah.
So that may account maybe 5%, maybe 10%, but between 5 and 10% stallions, you can't do anything about anyway, because just the quality isn't there in the first place. The other side of it is that the membrane of the sperm cell is quite fragile. And when you stick it in liquid nitrogen, it's a bit like a burst pipe. It's like it ruptures and breaks. If you get, you know, like when everything freezes in your house or wherever, what's the first thing? The water expands, and that's exactly the same thing that happens to a cell. So we have to protect that cell and look after it. Now, certain stallions have different tolerances when it comes to freezing the semen. What we've been able to do over the years is to cut those tolerances, get them better so they can actually sustain the freezability. Whereas years ago, they didn't like it at all. Now, actually, we can freeze nearly 90% of stallions, like your Suffolk Punch, like your Eriskid ponies, the ones that may be a bit more difficult to freeze. We can actually freeze them pretty successfully now. And hopefully, we're trying to take on a PhD student now from Nottingham Trent University. We're just putting it out there. So we're trying to get people to apply. And that, again, their doctorship is going to be on freezing semen as well. We're trying to make it better. We would like it to be the same as fresh semen. It's like a fresh product. We're quite a way off that. So that's the idea of it at the end of the day, is to do more research and develop. I love that side of it, trying to find different ways that we can actually, for a business side, to be fair, we want to be always as best we can, the world leaders, if we can always be up there at the front trying to do this cutting edge stuff. But also, that's the main side on the business side. But also, there is obviously the bit on the side that we do is obviously looking after the rare breeds and the endangered animal side, which adds a different element to it and a different side to it, which is really fascinating. And you get a lot of it's quite heartwarming when you succeed on that side of it.
You're doing good, Tullis. You know, it's, you're actually making a difference as well, which is lovely. It's not just
you get a kick out of it. Yeah. You do get a bit of enjoyment out of that side of it.
So the stage, then, you have 15 horses at a time. At Stallion AI, and then how are they there with you for a few weeks or a couple of days?
Yeah, we can take, in the summer we will have 33 or 34 stallions in with us at any one time. So some days we're doing up to 30 collections a day, so it's pretty busy
wow.
In the collection area.
Yeah. And how long are they there with you for?
Can be anything for a day, and sometimes they're with us permanently. So majority with us a couple of months or a month, I'd say. And we've got a really amazing team behind me. I mean, I wouldn't be anywhere without them, I must admit. They're the ones that really carry the business forward. I'm, because they're the person at the top, but it's really them doing it. You know, so we've got employed 27 people here. We've got a big office-based team, a big laboratory-based team. And then we've got a yard-based team that look after the stallions, handle the stallions and collect off them. And they're really the key behind it all, because we have a great, I like to think, great work ethic here. We try and push everybody so they all have input. So everybody, I say in the lab, that they've always got to be thinking of ways to freeze that semen better. So they're always going away, researching, coming back, saying, shall we try this? Shall we try something different? Which is great, really.
Well, it's nice that they can feel involved and feel that they can.
Yep.
Again, that's them making a difference, isn't it? Trying to step up the game every time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But I'm interested to know, why are the horses there for 2 months? Because if you're only doing a collection for a day...
Because some of them, like some of the ones that are here for the summer, there we stand with them. So it's not just frozen semen, it's fresh and chilled semen. So for instance, Big Star comes to us on the 1st of March, and then he will stand with us all the way through the summer. So a fresh product is always going to be better than a frozen product. So mares quite often want this fresh semen. Saying that, the gap between quality is very, very small now. There's not
really
a lot of difference here. Yeah, we've got it, you know, a lot better. So, but a lot of people still want the fresh semen out of the stallion. So we still collect off the stallion, but instead of freezing it, we'll put it straight in the mare, or we send it overnight chilled.
And what do they do then? So say I had a horse and I was based in Australia and I thought, oh, I'd quite like a Big Star foal. Would I contact Nick and his team, or would I contact you? How does it work?
You contact us. We'd have an agent out there, and she would, it's a bit like buying a car, a Mercedes car out there. You know, you contact the dealership, you don't go straight to Mercedes. The agent out there was, well, you'll sign a nomination form. So you fill out all the forms saying what the name of your mare is and who you are. So when you're given a covering certificate, a certificate shows that the mare's been covered by that stallion. So you can register the foal at the end of the day to that stallion. And then you pay your stud fee, and then the semen is then released to you.
And are there any rules on this? You know, are there restrictions from the stallion owners? Do they often say, you know, the mare has to be competing or has to have had so many points? Or
no, at the end of the day, it's a commercial based offer. So people obviously want to make money out of this, and they spent an awful lot of money having these stallion semen frozen. So there are certain stallions out there that have got a limited supply. So yes, they will hand pick some of the stallions, some of the mares. But generally, most of the time now, it's, you know, the stallion owners, the mare makes the choice whether she wants to use that stallion or not. And it's a bit difficult to turn around and say, no, your mare's not good enough.
Well, yeah, but that's difficult. Yeah. But how do you not, because it's about demand, isn't it? So how do you not devalue that stallion's sperm by having so many people go and have their foals?
But at the end of the day, you see some of these horses, they're out of stock, that sometimes aren't genetic. You wouldn't think they're genetically good animals, but actually they produce this amazing horse. And that does happen. Mm. So you generally have to start with good stuff to get a good product at the end of it. Yes, there's no doubt about it. But you still sometimes, they can go to a mare that you wouldn't think is the best breeding, but it can still produce a lovely foal. But in an ideal world, you're right. You want to mix the best genetics with the best genetics to stand the best chance of getting a fantastic foal out of it. But, you know, some people out there, and that's why Big Star's owner, they sell one straw for €1,000, which is actually quite cheap.
Yeah.
So they're trying to reach out to the, not just the people who can afford it. They're trying to reach out to the people who maybe can't afford to spend £3,000 or £4,000, but actually could potentially have a Big Star foal by just spending €1,000.
See, that would be amazing. So if I had, like, you know, I haven't got a mare, but, you know, let's say I had a mare and I could go and spend £1,000 and have a bit of Big Star and maybe create a foal. My worry is that if lots of people go and do that, then the value of Big Star's foal might go down. But I could be totally wrong. It wouldn't.
No, it's because as we're spread all over the world, if we had 1,000 foals in the UK, yes, you might say that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen. We're talking globally now, all over the world. So it doesn't really devalue it. There are a lot of other stallions that have got a lot more, you know, even more offspring on the ground, and it still doesn't devalue. In fact, it more enhances it to start with, because whenever you go to a show or show jumping show, the more you see of that particular by that particular stallion jumping, the general public think, crumbs, those young stock are obviously doing well. They're getting out there, they're getting competing. Mm. So the next person says, actually, I want one. The more you see jumping, the more they want them. So it actually has the reverse side to it.
Mm. And it's brilliant. This is one of the things that I love about Nick, is he's so down to earth and you know, he's really humble. And I really like the fact that it's only £1,000 and, you know, he hasn't priced it crazy, like 30 or 40, which I think that just shows his personality of, you know, his humble upbringing.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we do two different sorts. You can either buy a straw for €1,000, or you can buy what's called a pregnancy for €4,000. So it's a gamble, because if you didn't get your mare in foal in the first straw and used a straw four times, you spent your €4,000, and you might have been best to go down the other method. So we do give the mare owners a choice. So in other words, if you've got a mare that's a bit tricky to get in foal, you might just pay your €4,000, and then you just keep on going until your mare's in foal. Or you can gamble and just have one straw and hopefully that. And that works a lot of the time. That works at about 70% of the time, 60-70% of the time, you will get your mare in foal with one straw.
Oh, my goodness. And what's your dream, tell us? Because you've got all these expansion plans and, you know, you're taking over the world. but knowing you, there must be, you've got a plan in your head of somewhere where you'd like to go next. So what is it that you want to do next?
The goal is really, we just moved to this new centre now, and it's trying to utilise the centre. We've got an amazing lecture theatre upstairs. So it's trying to, we want to put on new lectures up here and promotional side for people. We want to try and launch, I'd like to try and launch a breeders club. We're thinking about launching that, which would be really interesting, engaging to the mare owner and helping them. I'd like to do a lot more on the zoo side, and not just saying that from a charity side. I do find that it takes me away from work, so to speak. Mm. And there's nothing nicer than going to Chester Zoo and looking behind the scenes. And I have to admit, I love that side of things. It's great dealing with different animals, trying to get your head around their reproductive systems. How can we help? Yes, we're literally just scratching the surface of that side of it. I'm not saying we're experts at it by any means, but that side of it I find absolutely fascinating. That's, I suppose, part of it. I suppose I love traveling. The other bit that I really enjoy doing, actually, is setting up laboratories.
Really?
I've just been to the Middle East in November, and they can't freeze camels at the moment, or find it very difficult to freeze camel semen. So I've been when I was out there helping collect off camels, and there's a massive place. The camels are hugely valuable out there. I mean, massively valuable. The racing camels, and believe it or not, the beauty camel. The beauty camel is worth more than a racing camel.
What's the beauty camel? I've never heard of that.
The beauty camel. It's like a beauty pageant for camels.
No.
Oh, yes. and I saw one that they turned down £5 million, 25 million dirhams for it. You know, that's the sort of money you're talking for these animals. But setting up a lab, I set up a lab in Kuwait last year, and Saudi Arabia, I set up a lab a few years ago. And I love that side of it. Have to mean going out to these different countries, you're dealing with different people and dishing out different nationalities. And I find it I find it absolutely fascinating, the world out there. And you're quite often thinking on your feet, because it's not like our lab in here, where you sort of know everybody around you. You're trying to, there's a language issue and all different things. And I find that absolutely fascinating, setting up laboratories there and then collecting off the stallions and teaching them how to freeze in these different countries. So I must admit, if I could do that sort of 3 or 4 times a year, I'd be a happy man.
Well, I think you're doing a phenomenal job. And I think Stallion AI Services is so exciting. You've been ahead of the breeding world for a long time now. And it's lovely that, you know, that you're educating other people with your new education centre. And I've learnt loads from you being on the podcast. So thank you so, so much. If we would like to find out more information or just follow your stories, how can we follow you? What's your website address?
Our website address is stallionai.com. Mm-hmm.
And then you're on Facebook and Twitter.
On Facebook, look at Stallion AI again. We're regularly posting on there as well.
So your Facebook is Stallion AI, and you're on Twitter as well. Well, Tullis, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you. It's been great to speak to you.
And we'll see you at the next Stallion event.
We have our official open day, which is on the 21st of April, where we have Big Star and all these stallions being shown off again. We'll have about 30 stallions parading here in April, actually, on this, and people can actually come and look around the lab, look around the centre as well at the same time. And I think it's a great opportunity to get up close and personal to the stallions. Here you are, parting with your hard-earned money to the stallion owners to have your mare put in foal. And I think it's a great opportunity to actually go up, pat the horse that you want to put your mare in foal to, and actually have a chat with the owners. It's a great opportunity, and I'd fully recommend it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say and have a chat with the horse then. I'd say that's what I would go for, Big Star. Yeah. I'm very proud of you, but produce me an amazing foal, please. That would be great. Well, it's been fascinating, Tullis. Thanks so much. Best of luck, and we'll see you at the next Stallion Parade.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. You can catch all previous episodes of the Horse Hour podcast on our website. Just head to horsehour.co.uk. And if you miss the National Equine Forum on Thursday, then don't panic. You can watch all the replays from the live stream. If you head to their website, nationalequineforum.com, you can also check out their YouTube account too. And I have to say, there was a phenomenal talk from Alan Hiscox, who's the Director of Safety for the British Horse Society. He used such a powerful video. So if you get time, do go and have a look at the live stream videos and watch his talk, because it makes a lot of sense. When we're talking about rider safety, we should be saying thank you. We should be courteous to other drivers. But what can we do as equestrians to make our roads safer? We're fighting the cyclists, we're fighting the motorbikes, we're fighting the cars all the time. Alan has a really interesting view, which is working with the other road users. Have a little look at his video, and also you can hear his interview on the podcast. Just head to Acast, iTunes, or of course our website. There were some great speakers at the National Equine Forum, including Dr. Sue Dyson. You can also hear her interview as a podcast episode, but definitely watch her video, because while they're doing their speech at the National Equine Forum, they have presentations, they have PowerPoint presentations. So it's quite good to be able to see in PowerPoint form her study, the 6 horses that she used. Basically, Sue did a rider weight study, and so it's good to watch those PowerPoint presentations and actually see how she got to the results that she got to. So you can catch all of this on the National Equine Forum website, and you can follow them on Twitter at NatEcForum and on Facebook as well. So it was really interesting to hear from those speakers. We also heard from Lynn Peterson and Jeanette Allen. So Lynn's from the British Horse Society and Jeanette's from the Horse Trust, and they talk about the British Horse Council. Nigel Oakley joined us talking about rare breeds and the Rare Breed Survival Trust, which he's a Suffolk Punch man. He loves the Suffolk Punches, but sadly they're in decline. So his talk at the National Equine Forum was really, really interesting, because there's only 500 left in the UK. 500 horses, it feels like a lot, but not when it comes to breeding. He explains why. And then we also saw Jim Green, who he did the memorial talk because last year he won the Sir Colin Spedding Award. And Jim works for Hampshire Fire and Rescue. And he's built this platform for all the fire and rescue services in the UK to have a large animal rescue unit. It's all down to him. He's been over to California trying to save horses and large animals from the floods and from the bushfires. A really, really fascinating man. He definitely deserved the award last year. But listen to his update this year. Of how his work is actually impacting on the UK. I can vouch for myself for him. His team are incredible. Recently, there was a friend of mine was stuck in a bog in the New Forest, and if it wasn't for Jim's team, then she could have been lost for days. So you can also hear his episode on the Horse Hour podcast at our website, horsehour.co.uk. So lots for you to catch up on. As always, we love seeing your videos and your pictures of what you've been up to with your horses. I hope you have a lovely time on the networking hour tonight between 8 and 9 p.m. on Twitter. Just use hashtag Horse Hour. Hope you have a really good week with your horse. I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag Horse Hour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.